Dear fellow redeemed by the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There are interesting things that we learn living in different parts of the country. One of the things that we saw living out west along the Pacific coast was the Coast Guard and the rescue swimmers that used to work for, or still do work for the Coast Guard. Some of you may have seen them on, the Weather Channel has them a lot, and so does Discovery and History and all of these. They are people that jump into the sea to rescue people whose ships are sinking. They may jump in next to somebody who's has nothing on but a survival suit or is in a life raft, and often these people are completely so cold they're unable to take a hold of anything, and they have to lift them into the basket so they can be hoisted up from certain death to reunion with their families, to warmth, to rest, and to life itself. The crews that do this are in danger, and some of them die. It's kind of, I guess, chilling to go by the Coast Guard stations and see the plaques with the names of those who are dead. Tried to save others and didn't succeed. And when they're out there, they're sometimes not much better off than the people they're rescuing. They're cold, they're tired, they're scared. And so you have to ask sometimes, what makes it worthwhile? You know, it isn't the joy of being cold and exhausted and scared. It isn't the joy of leaving their wives widows or their children orphans. That's not it at all. They don't do it just because they're ordered to do so. What is it, do you think? Well, one particular show, okay, it's kind of schmaltzy and goes in for it, but it really made the point. They showed the rescued man getting off the helicopter and his 8-year-old daughter running into his arms. Now that's why they do it, isn't it? The joy of seeing someone rescued. In our text for today, Jesus is going to adjust our perspective a little bit about reaching out to the lost. And we may not end up exactly where you think. So yes, pay attention back there. You know, the chief doctrine of the Christian faith is not the Great Commission. The chief teaching of the Christian faith is not go and make disciples of all nations. I'm not saying it's unimportant. No words of Christ are unimportant. But the central teaching of the Christian faith is justification by grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ. The central doctrine of the Christian faith is really pure joy. It's the good news that your sins, that all of them, are in fact fully and completely forgiven. Christ crucified, Christ redeeming the world, that's the center of the Christian message. Whenever any of the lost are found, whenever anyone in repentance hears that message and believes it, whenever a person goes from spiritual death to spiritual life and believes that gospel, that joyful gospel, whenever anyone born in sin receives by faith the righteousness that Christ won for us, there is joy in heaven. Even more than the joy of a family who sees their loved ones get off the helicopter safely. Well, if we're going to talk about Jesus rescuing the lost and the joy over any of these missing sheep who are found, we have to ask the question, who are the lost? And also, what difference does it make? Well, go to our epistle lesson. Paul writes to Timothy, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. to save. Well, who does he have to save? Sinners. Anyone who is a sinner needs a rescue. That's pretty all-inclusive, isn't it? Does it include you? Does it include me? How many of the people that you know are included in that category of sinners? Yeah, it includes us all. And sort of to underscore how inclusive it is, Paul not only says he came into the world to save sinners, but he goes on to say, of whom I am the foremost. Or as he says in another translation, in whom I am the worst. Well, I'll tell you, I'm no better than the Apostle Paul. And so I have to say that that makes me someone in need of salvation. Paul made it really clear also in writing to the Ephesians that everyone is born this way. Every one of us is born a sinner. Everyone is born lost. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So you can imagine yourself treading water in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. That's where you are. Unless something changes, you got a watery grave. We're born lost. Unless something changes, we remain alienated from God forever and forever and forever. So to start with, there is one category of lost people, and that's everybody. Now the good news is that Christ died for everybody. No matter who you look at in your life, in fact, no matter who you are, burdened with your sins, you should know that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Are you a sinner? You qualify. The Lamb of God came to take away the sins of the world. Are you in this world? Well, you're qualified as the lost, as people whom Christ our Savior seeks. And so as Paul writes to Titus, he says, when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. So by his word and sacrament, and here particularly by the sacrament of holy baptism, we're reminded that God himself acts to pour out his grace and forgiveness upon us and give us life, we who were born dead. And so as a result, by God's grace, many now have been rescued. The redemption that Christ has won has been offered in word and sacrament and received by faith. Through God's word, he has brought many people to repent of their sins and to believe in the good news. And there has been a great and frequent and continuing celebration in heaven. Many of the lost have been found. But what we're confronted with here in our text is that there are others who are still lost. And some who don't know what you know, who have not been found. I won't say that you found Jesus. I'll say he's found you, and so you know him. These are, I facetiously call, the dangerously lost. You know, we were lost, but man, they're really lost, right? The temptation is to say, well, there was something about us that made us just a little less lost. We hadn't wandered quite so far as those other people. Forget that. There's nobody who has been any more lost than you or me. But the Pharisees kind of had that attitude. That there were people that were like those dirty rags. I mean, they're so dirty. They're dirty. We're not going to wash them. Those people are sinners. What are they doing? What is Jesus, the source of forgiveness, the source of righteousness, doing talking to them? What are we doing talking to people who need what we have? Well, hopefully we're like, well, in fact, that's what the Bible says. You're going to be like fuller's, like a launderer's soap. You're going to be like bleach in this world because you are able to bring that which gives life where there has been death. So who are these people the Pharisees were upset about? Well, surely they included those living an outwardly immoral life, living in some sort of sexual relationship with somebody they aren't married, or maybe they were a drunkard, or maybe, nowadays we'd say, maybe they were an addict, or maybe they were on drugs, or living a life of crime, not repented of their sins, and not yet turned to the rescuing forgiveness that Christ brings, and then he finds them. It's easy to look at that list and to think of them as those who, again, don't deserve to be found. And that's what the Pharisees tended to do. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Who'd ever heard of such a thing? What an idea. But as Isaiah said so famously in Isaiah 64, he says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags," like those rags right there in that hamper. "We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." So it is apart from Christ. So you see, it isn't just those really bad people that need saving. Among the lost are upstanding members of our community who may be Mormons or Muslims or agnostics. And we all know pretty good people who just don't happen to be Christian. Among the lost are babies not yet baptized, the unchurched, the fallen away, former Christians, former Lutherans, even former members of St. Timothy. Good folks in a general way, but filthy compared to the righteousness of God. And no filthier than you or me. Their rags aren't any dirtier than ours. So all of us, and them too, are equally valuable to our Savior who was on his way. Remember that journey he's on. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to redeem them with his blood. And so as Jesus says, when the good shepherd finds that sheep that was lost, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." And how about the woman with the coin? When she finds her coin, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." I from up here, I'm laughing in a way. I've just described the most wonderfully joyful event in any of our lives, and you're being so polite. No smiles, no remembrances. Okay, well, that's all right. We'll work on it. Okay, I'm not a schmaltzy preacher, but, you know, we're going to work on that a little bit today because the joy that was expressed in heaven over the fact that you became his would probably embarrass us Northern Europeans no end. You know, our English family, they don't cry. Well, they hardly ever laugh either. But in heaven, they celebrate like mad because you have come to belong to Christ, the Good Shepherd. He, while he was on earth, he sought and he found many during those 3.5 years of his ministry. And now he sends us, those who have become his, to seek after others. Notice the essence of this text is not that Jesus is making a command to us. Get out there! The essence of this text is for Jesus to say, do you have any idea how much I love your neighbors, your friends? Yeah, you, but you already know that. You're one of the 99. But how about those people that don't know? Think about how much I love them. Share the joy that you have. Well, where have you heard that before? That seems to be in the mission statement of our congregation. Our mission is to reach out with the joy of the gospel to our community for the salvation of souls, to promote Christian life and fellowship and encourage one another in the true faith. He's telling us that the joy that is in heaven over each and every soul saved is really beyond our comprehension. And so we have to readjust our thinking, maybe. On the one hand, we have to readjust our understanding of what it means to be lost. There are a lot of people in our lives who are lost. There's the baby that needs baptism. There's the good friend who's no Christian. There's the fallen away church member. There are those indifferent to the faith. They're all lost. And on the other hand, we have to adjust the value that we understand Christ places on them, on people who are so rotten that we might not even think of sharing the gospel with them. Reject your prejudices. Reject those prejudices and reflect instead upon the joy of seeing those people as the angels see them when they repent and believe. You know, we can't see that. We don't see a person begin to glow with spiritual life. We don't get to see a person covered with the righteousness of Christ, spiritually alive and headed for the resurrection unto eternal life. So, yeah, maybe that's one reason we don't celebrate quite so much. But we need to know what's happening. Christ's words on your lips and his grace in your life, your undeserved love toward other people can accomplish this. Just before our text, Jesus says to his followers, he says, you are the salt of the earth. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, it's useless. How can it be made salty again? It's fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It's thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We're useful if we're salty. That is, if we're touching, permeating, affecting, and preserving the world around us with words of grace and peace. Words of mercy and compassion, words of forgiveness, words about Christ. Living our life in a Christian way, that doesn't mean, excuse me, Holy Joe here would like to tell you how to, you know, run your life, but rather speaking as one convicted sinner to another when we proclaim the law, and speaking above all of the mercy of God. Well, that can be hard. It can be like going into the wilderness to look for a lost sheep. You may never have had to do that. I have had to. Let me tell you someday about something called vine maple and how difficult it is to get from here to there through it, even if the sheep is there looking at you. Or it might be as difficult, this you probably can relate to, move all the furniture out of your house so you can find that coin. Yeah, it might be difficult, these things. But if we don't do it, who will? Who will be the salt that preserves this lost world? In fact, who's going to be the give impetus, give occasion for that joy that echoes all the way through heaven when somebody hears and believes about Christ. Think about that joy. Think about that poor, cold sailor that gets off that helicopter to have his daughter jump into his arms. Think about anyone that you hold dear, that if you lost them, it would break your heart, and to have them restored to you. And remember that that's the way it was in heaven when you were found. You might not feel that you're such a great catch. You might be saying with Paul, I am the worst of sinners. Why would anybody in heaven want me? Well, then it's a good time to remember that though our sins be as scarlet, he will make them white as snow. That Jesus is the one who has taken away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God who shed his blood to atone for them all. And so to know that you are welcomed as a saint into heaven, as a holy person, as one who belongs to the holy and righteous Lord. So we may not feel so good about ourselves, but we need to see ourselves also as the angels see us. There was joy in heaven when the forgiveness of all of your sins came to you and the righteousness of Christ covered you. There was joy in heaven. Perhaps it was when you were brought to even this font. Perhaps when it was after long and careless neglect of God's word that you repented and returned to the faith. Perhaps it was when the fear of death had closed over you and someone had told you that to your heart's delight, that there is forgiveness and there is life. That because of what Jesus did, heaven is open to us. And there's full and free forgiveness of all of our sins. Here's the thing. We may never have felt it. Faith is not a feeling. We may never have. Well, I think it's safe to say we have not yet experienced heavenly joy. But that joy has, in fact, been there. The angels rejoiced when you came to faith that one was added to those who will bask in the presence of the living God and eat the eternal feast that he has prepared for us. That's what comes of sharing the joy of forgiveness, because by grace we have been saved through faith in Jesus. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Amen.